This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
And former athletic director John Curry reached a separation agreement on Thursday that will pay Curry $2.5 billion.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
You son of a b-. You better not hire that coach who can't even have a decent record at Rutgers.
Legendary Pennsylvania jockey Jose Flores died after a sickening racing incident yesterday.
Airing every day from noon to 3.
You're disgusting. We're going to hire the man that gave 69 points to the Butch Jones offense?
Nice.
No longer a Vol for life. Seriously, John, f*** you.
On 1340 WKGN.
Spike the Elephant may be the happiest elephant in the world. Why is he the happiest elephant in America, you might ask? He joined 6 female elephants, Ambika, Shantai, Bozi, Kamala, Swarna, and Maharani, in his elephant pit.
Do you want to be average? Grow a pair of you. Hour 2 kicking off in the White Claw Studios. Hour 2 headlines. Draven.
Start with some sad news from Atlanta. Hank Aaron, the baseball legend, passed away this morning. Passed away in his sleep, which was good. No cause of death has been released. But Atlanta guy, Cam, I mean, a legend in Atlanta. What did you think of the passing of Hank Aaron?
It's one of those guys that you like don't think about ever like dying. You're just like, oh yeah, Hank's still around. Hank's still cool. So seeing a lot of people, you know, talking the praises of him today, so that's good. He was that guy for a minute, you know. A lot of adversity he had to face stuff too, and you know, rocking out those home runs, no juice balls, no steroids, just hammering.
The stats are that if Hank Aaron had never hit one home run, he still would have had over 3,000 hits. He still would have been a Hall of Famer had he not hit one home run. Instead, he hit, you know, led the league.
Yep.
All time history, you know, in home runs.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Without one, still had over 3,000 hits. Just
That's
a monster.
Crazy. Yeah,
while being a Gold Glover. In the outfield, just a monster.
Did you see the people thinking it was the COVID vaccine that got him?
I didn't see that.
Because he got it like earlier this month, so everybody was like, oh, what?
Something I found out today was that he debuted in Nashville. His first game was in Nashville. Nashville's Park, yep.
What year was that? He came in the league, like 1954 or something?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. That's crazy. Where'd you see that?
Nashville, I think their baseball team tweeted it out because like he debuted like in their park over there.
Right,
the Sounds Park, or a different
I don't know if that was one that was around back then or not. Like there's a park over there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll see if I can find the exact name of it for you before headlines are over.
All right, but yeah, RIP to a legend. Man died at 86 years old. Moving on to some NFL news, kind of some big news coming out here in the last 45 minutes, that Bruce Arians declaring Antonio Brown, AB, Tom Brady's boy, he will be out for Sunday in the big NFC Championship game. So, how big of a hit is this to the Buccaneers offense, guys? Is this going to be worrisome, or is this no big deal?
I mean, the offense actually looked better last week whenever Brown went out. Get a little Scotty Miller.
Seemed
in there
to force him a little bit.
Yeah.
Scotty Miller's really good.
And that Minnesota really guy made a big play on that one third down.
Yeah, that was a huge catch.
Is it Tyler Johnson?
Yeah, okay. He made a big catch on that third down. I mean, let's make up our minds now. Is it a big deal or not? Because after the Packers kill him, I don't want to hear you say, oh, it's only because AB was out. Mr. Big Chest didn't play.
I think Packers going to smoke him regardless. Yeah. I think it was like another weapon they don't have to worry about. But also, like you said, they look better because I think they try and force him the ball a lot when he's in there. give him his touches, and I think that kind of just gets him out of rhythm a little bit.
I would say it.
And you know, I mean, it's helpful, you know, Tom Brady always needs his little white receiver out there in the playoffs. Scotty Miller needs to shine.
We got Scotty out there now.
He'll feel much more comfortable with Scotty out there. Scotty. The Nashville Sounds tweeted out, "We joined the baseball world and mourn the passing of Hank Aaron, who in May of 1952, 16-year-old Hank Aaron made his professional debut at Old Sulphur Dell." The current site of First Horizon Park. So I guess where the new stadium is where the old stadium used to be.
Gotcha.
16 years old, made his debut. Wow. Rest in peace to a true legend, they said.
That's crazy. Starting in Nashville. Who'd have thought? That'd be a good, like, little trivia question.
Yep. That's why I gave it to you. In case you ever need it.
Yeah. Appreciate it. So, AB, not worried for the Buccaneers?
John? I mean, they're gonna get killed with him, and they're gonna get killed without him.
Tom Brady, has Tom Brady ever, like, just gotten killed in a playoff game? I don't think he's ever gotten just straight, just blown out.
Jake the Snake Plumber beat his ass in Denver one night up there
Jake the Snake
in, like, 2000, like, circa 2004 or 5, I think.
Really?
2005, I think, was the season. They got absolutely killed. If my memory serves me correctly.
And that was 2005. 15.
Well, I'm just thinking about it. We're just looking at, like, blowouts. I mean, it's the one that just comes out.
It's very rare for Brady when he does lose to get blown out. So, just saying.
Yeah, when he played the Broncos that one time, I think they beat him fairly comfortably. I'm trying to think of what year that would have been. The first time the Broncos went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Seahawks. Might only been like an 11-point game, though, so I don't know if that would consider that a blow. Let's see. What was I looking at? I want to see what they – 13-27 was the game I was talking about.
Okay.
He threw two interceptions. He could never win at Denver.
I was about to say, he always struggles up in Denver, don't he?
Yeah.
Kind of weird. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how AB's loss affects them. And
that is true, though. Outside of that, Baltimore kicked his ass that one year.
Oh, yeah.
Baltimore kicked his ass twice. Baltimore, that one time they were the wild card team – in New England, well, the wild card weekend, Baltimore went there and beat them 14-33.
Wow.
Ray Rice ran for like 200 yards, like, or had like 200 total yards, and that was the worst playoff loss. The Ravens went there and just absolutely annihilated them.
Ravens beat them twice, though?
Ravens beat them again 28-13, also kind of beat them down the year they went and won the Super Bowl.
And they should have beat them.
They should have beat them
he choked that field goal.
Couldn't have missed the field goal, but it was what was that guy?
The receiver that dropped it.
Lee Evans dropped that interception, or dropped the touchdown. Dropped the touchdown. I believe it was Lee Evans. Dropped the touchdown, had it stripped away from him. So Baltimore should have been three times, but
yeah,
that was a 10-point loss at Denver, like I was talking about that one year. So yeah, I mean, not a whole lot of blowouts out there, but there are a couple.
Did you guys see that the NFL announced that the Super Bowl
lost by 7 to the Titans?
That's not a blowout. That's not a blowout. Titans were up at halftime in that game, right? It's 14-13 at halftime.
He threw for 209 yards and interception. I mean, he played pretty terrible.
Yeah, the pick six was just kind of pointless at the end. Actually, it kind of helped the Patriots to have at least a shot, better shot. But either way, NFL announced that the Super Bowl in Tampa will host 22,000 fans. And something cool they're going to be doing is 7,500 of those fans will be for healthcare workers, as they will be given free tickets. So, pretty cool by the NFL. I don't know how they're going to narrow down those 7,000 healthcare workers, but that's the announcement coming out. So,
I mean, why wouldn't half those people flip those tickets for the cash?
nobody shows up. But, 22,000, that's going to be a decent amount. I feel like you'll still feel a little bit of that Super Bowl atmosphere, so... That's good, and of course...
I mean, tickets last year were going to be like $5,000 just to get in.
Oof.
Because I remember looking, you know, if the Titans were going to make it, and, I mean, if you reduce that capacity by a third, I'd imagine, the demand is going to be $8,000 or $10,000 to get in when you look at the resale market.
And you're drawing the demand back, or the number back even further if you're allocating a certain amount to the healthcare workers. So, yeah, that's going to be a pretty penny for this ticket.
Any other headlines?
Yeah, got you another one. Washington football team, did you guys see they promoted Jennifer King to a full-time offensive assistant and making her the NFL's first full-time African-American female coach? So Washington, you know, they changed their name after getting criticized being the with the Redskins title. So they're moving in the right direction. Dan Snyder over there pulling the right strings
good
now.
Good for Dan Snyder, a leading beacon for women's rights.
You can tell at least he's making an effort, right?
Yeah, for sure. As definitely isn't just trying to placate all of his placate the mob for all of his past transgressions. You're right. It's definitely just him. He's learned.
He's learned.
Right? He's a new man.
Baby steps.
No kidding. And another headline coming out of the NFL. Rob Ryan and that luscious hair, man. It's back. It's back, baby. Rob's got a job again. Did we not just talk about Rob Ryan like 2 days ago and how he just keeps getting NFL jobs somehow? Well, he's got another one, baby. He's going to be going to the Ravens as a linebackers coach. Rob, back in action. Who's excited? Who's your favorite, Ryan, out of the bunch?
Rob seems way cooler to hang out with.
Right. I mean, he has to be. I'd say Rex, maybe the better overall coach, I guess, with his little bit of better resume.
Oh, you know, Rex is a better coach for sure. Like, I don't know if Rob's a good defensive coach, but Rob seems way cooler to hang out with.
Is that how he keeps getting these NFL jobs? Because
so.
he keeps finding a way. And moving to the NBA, got to bring up what happened in the Warriors game last night. Kind of crazy. Draymond Green mistakenly got ejected. Have you guys ever heard of a player mistakenly getting ejected? So Draymond was basically chewing out his rookie teammate James Wiseman, you know, giving the rookie a little lesson, whatever, teaching him up. And apparently one of the refs, John Butler, who has only been in the NBA as an official for 2 years, thought he was Draymond was yelling at him and teed him up, and that was his second tee, and Draymond was out of there. And then the NBA, of course, came out after the game and admitted to the Warriors and Steve Kerr that it was, made a mistake.
Did the Warriors win or lose this game?
Good question.
Well, either way, you asked about if I've ever seen anybody get ejected on accident. Not from that, but I have seen, a player foul out accidentally. Like, they have...
Giving them the wrong foul.
It wasn't Shaq who did that,
a Hawks Heat game, and they had to
replay. They did lose, by the way. 119-104.
I don't know if it would have mattered, but, he fouled out with, a minute left in the game, in, a close game, so... They actually made the Hawks and Heat replay it. They had to replay the last minute of the game before before another game. And it was those two teams were chasing each other for a playoff spot in 2008, and I believe it was 2008. And, the Hawks had to replay the last minute of the game with Shaq in it. Hawks ended up still winning the game, so it didn't matter.
Guess who made playoffs that year? Ayo.
The Hawks, yeah.
What year was that?
I believe it was 2008, I believe.
My first Hawks playoff game.
Was that Celtics-Hawks 1-8 matchup?
I believe that was, I believe that's when the Hawks got in the playoffs.
I went to every single home game of that playoff series.
That was fun.
I went to 4-6. I didn't go to 3, but I went to 4-6.
What a time.
And then last quick headline. I want to go back to the NFL and just bring up that the Jaguars, I thought this was interesting. They're expected to hire offensive coordinator Darryl Bevell from the Detroit Lions. Yeah,
who's hiring him?
The Jaguars. So Urban Meyer.
Is an offensive coordinator?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the report coming out.
I don't like this, Urban.
Yeah, it's been a couple of interesting moves with Urban's staff so far.
I don't like this at all, Urban.
Do you think that this could be maybe headed in the wrong direction? I kind of thought Urban would bring in a stronger staff. I don't know.
Yeah, I did too. Don't like what he's doing so far.
We'll see how it works out. But
don't like the energy.
Darryl Bevell was the interim head coach for the Lions when Patricia got fired. He's their offensive coordinator. So, we will keep us on that. Again, kind of thought Urban was going to be bringing in some all-star staff. Not the case so far. So, we'll see.
Go back to headlines. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. So far today, we've been talking a lot about Tennessee's new AD, Tennessee's upcoming coaching search, or I guess their current coaching search. We're in day two. We got a caller on the G3 Help Me hotline that wants to weigh in on Tony Elliott. You said we got Alex.
Yep.
Alex is in Greenville, South Carolina. All right, let's go check in with Alex on the G3 Help Me hotline. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. The floor is yours, my brother.
Awesome. So a couple of things. First of all, I listened to not the whole thing, but the majority of the press conference. And for the first time in a long time, I feel like we hired the guy that's the smartest in the room and not a part of the good old boy network that's failed us time and time again, or somebody that happened to be born, you know, in East Tennessee and then go to Furman, or, sure, you know, go to Georgia or Alabama, somebody that's actually qualified to take the job. And the guys hiring them actually, you know, were pretty decisive, and that's something I can't say I've felt from Tennessee in a long time. And it kind of goes into a place of a couple of years ago, I was looking to transfer from actually Sewanee to either Clemson or Tennessee, and it kind of encapsulated what I think the differences between the two schools are. Clemson, you know, very professional and everything, and they were a great school to me, and, you know, I did a couple of years there, and eventually I've taken my talents to machining and fab, but, you know, Tennessee, I absolutely loved my advisor. It's just so Tennessee. My family has a ton of alums in good standing and everything, and I didn't hear back from them for weeks until, like, right before the semester. I started calling them, you know, hey, I know I've got the grades to get in, you know, hey, if that didn't happen, you know, I'd be a little surprised, but, you know, what's the deal? It turns out that they had spelled my name wrong and never sent me my acceptance letter. And, you know, that is just so Tennessee, you know, so torn between the two. I ended up getting student season tickets for Clemson and seeing Trevor Lawrence, you know, win in Santa Clara. And, you know, it was incredible. But, you know, I've got family that have gone to both. And for the first time in forever, I think Tennessee's hired the smart guy. And from an outsider's and insider's perspective, since, you know, I've got a lot of family in Tennessee and spent a lot of time there, I think Tennessee is a great state where folks from the outside can come in and feel welcome. And I think that's how Tennessee can actually kind of brand themselves moving forward of, hey, you know, if you want to come here and you want to work and you want to be the best, you know, we're going to give you the tools to do that. It's not about the good old boy network that you'll find in Alabama or Ole Miss or Mississippi State. And, yeah, I'm really happy about everything going on.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. I didn't hear the part where he was going to sell us on Tony. Did you not say he was going to sell us on Tony?
Oh, I was saying he had some Clemson stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That is a pretty pretty telling stuff. That is a very classic UT versus Clemson kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Just spelling a name wrong. And,
yeah,
It is the little things like that that we've botched the past few years. I mean,
The little things seem big when you suck.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They're only little when you're winning and can overlook them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just big things, and they add up on top of each other for reasons why you suck.
Mm-hmm.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. You don't pay them anything out of pocket until you win. That's g3helpme.com. Yeah, I thought he was going to try to sell us on Tony Elliott.
Mm. Yeah, well, I guess Draven already tried enough.
So you guys have had a little time to simmer on that and let it cook and boil a little bit. What are we thinking? How are we feeling about Tony Elliott now?
It's stupid.
Hey, yeah, I was going to say, Hayden's been stewing over this for an hour, like, or 2 hours, really, or since you walked in the door.
Why is it stupid?
About an hour and a half
Hayden?
Ago. Like, Hayden has been mad, but I'm happy for you to see how it feels, because he's been yelling at me like this. He's been the same way towards me all week about my coaching candidate. So, and you've been right there agging him on, so I'm glad that you are now under the fire. Hayden, yell at him and tell him how stupid he is.
If we're disparaging Gerard Mayo.
No, just leave Gerard Mayo out of it.
But I'm saying we have been all week.
I know we have, but just leave it out of it. Just yell about Tony Elliott. Just don't talk about Draven being a hypocrite and Draven, you know, can't take 10 minutes to watch an interview I've asked him to watch. Just all of a sudden watching Tony Elliott break down film on a whiteboard for some
exotic
reason.
Exotic stuff,
can't
man.
Take 10 minutes while he's riding the car to listen to a podcast. But whatever. Leave Gerard Mayo out of it, because Gerard Mayo's not going to be involved with this search, it doesn't seem. Let's just keep it on Tony Elliott, please.
I mean, he's called half the plays. And you're acting like he's a big-time coordinator. He's been the offensive coordinator officially for, what, 1 year? He was the running backs coach for, what, 3 years?
Well, co-offense coordinator.
Co-offense coordinator, okay.
Helps call plays. Has an influence on the offense, for
who's
sure.
Who's on the Clemson offense?
Okay, I get it. I said that.
Isn't that what T. Martin used to do when people were like, we don't want T because he only calls half the offensive plays?
If I don't even know if he got the half.
Was that
to be
like third down or something like
no,
that?
I think T wasn't allowed to call third.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was. First, second down.
Yeah, he was a first and second down corner, and then on the money down, like we're gonna bring in. We're gonna bring in Tyson for this.
Go ahead, go get Tom Herman just because you guys want a head coach. Go get a loser head coach just because we have to go get a head coach. Go do that real quick, Hayden. Go have fun with Tom Herman.
Hayden just gets pouty. He just gets pouty whenever he doesn't get his way. Are you an only child, Hayden?
No.
You're not? Okay. You got a brother or sister?
A sister.
How old is she?
She's younger than me.
So your older brother? Okay.
Yeah.
I really didn't know. I really thought you were just the only child.
I don't know how old she is. Hold on.
That's fine. She's younger than you.
She's 17.
She's younger than you.
She's 17.
That's fine. Okay. Well, I was going to say you seem like an only child, but you just get kind of pouty when you don't get your way.
What? How am I pouty right now?
I've just been pouty. Like, you seem like you're going to be the most upset about any of these hires. It seems like you're going to be – you were – more angry at Jeremy Pruitt from the get-go, which, you know, you ended up being right. That's fine. But, like, you were pouty and mad about that pretty early on. You've been yelling at me all week about every time I even mentioned Gerard Mayo, you shut down.
I just think it's stupid.
And that's fine. You got to the point where you're thinking it's stupid, and then you're, like, just contradicting yourself about some belt coaches and claiming some coaches are good and, you know, whatever, after the day before you'd said they weren't. It just seems like you're going to be hard to please with this. And I wonder if you're speaking for your generation. Like, do you feel like your friends are the same way?
Yeah.
Draven, I mean, you're basically the same age. I mean, are you in that same boat? Like, are you going to be pretty disgusted with almost any of these hires? Or are you going to give this new regime a chance?
I don't know. It is difficult to be patient with this, right? With kind of how the last few years have went. We've been patient for pretty much our whole lives as UT fans,
well, I mean,
basically.
I remember at the same age, I mean, like, we hadn't even gone through the decade we had gone through. Like, I remember being, you know, irate when we hired Derek Dooley, and I remember being very mad when we hired Butch Jones, and I was, you know, 20 years old and 20, you know, 22, 23. Like, I'm, you know, kind of was in the same position you guys are, and I took it a lot harder than I did, you know, than I think I will this go around, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Why is that, though?
I don't know.
Just over it?
I don't know if it's the losing that's beat me down, like Nate said yesterday on the air when he called in. I don't know if it's just a little bit more perspective in terms of me thinking that there's not any, like, home run hire, basically. Or, like, any yeah. Surefire, like, no-brainer hire. I don't know if it's the fact that even if you hire a guy that looks good on paper, like, there's still not a guarantee you'll be good. Like, I don't know what it is. It might just be because we just keep getting beaten down. It might just be because, like, we've just hired so many losers that somebody with a brain will feel like a win. I don't know. Maybe it's Danny White wrapping me up in his strong arms, holding me up against his chest with no tie on as he holds me and tells me everything's going to be okay. Maybe that's the reason I'm not worried. Maybe it's the thought of when I'm scared, I picture Donde winking at me and telling me everything's going to be okay. Call me sweetie or handsome. Maybe all those reasons have combined to make me feel more confident. I don't know what it is, Draven, but I don't feel the same fear or the same necessity to get who I want tired. That's just how I feel. Like I said, there's only like three names right now that would make me just like irate.
Yeah.
And like, you know, one's Kevin Steele.
Mm-hmm.
And one is Sonny Dykes, and I don't even know if I have the other name that would just make me irate. Like, really only two that I'm looking at and saying, no go. Like, if they hired Lance Leopold from Buffalo, like, I'd be like, what the hell are we doing? But I'd be like, all right, Danny, like, let's give it a try. Nah, look, please don't confuse that as Hayden's already scoffing. Please don't excuse that with me saying I would be, or don't confuse that with me saying I would be excited. I would not be excited.
I think
Josh Heupel might be the third name. I don't want Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people I don't want.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that would make me, like, angry. Josh Heupel would, you know, you went 6-4 at UCF, bro. That was once a national championship program when you took over. I mean, come on. That's probably the other name I'm looking at and saying no thanks. Like Sonny Dykes, Kevin Steele, and Josh Heupel are like really the only three, and Kevin Steele. Like the only three that I'm like, I'm good on that, bro. I'm good on that. No thanks. I don't know if I'm in the majority or if you guys are in the majority. I don't know if it's a generational thing because, I mean, we're 10 years apart. I don't know if the older generation than us is even more concerned. I mean, you've heard Russell. Kevin Steele, give it to Kevin Steele. What do you think, Bear? I'll tell you, Russ. I trust the battle captain. What's Bear been saying?
He's full turn on the battle captain.
But like, has he given an opinion on who he wants to be coached? As Russ is opining and begging for?
He wants Lane Kiffin.
He wants Kiffin?
Okay. Can you tell me
on why everybody thinks Kiffin's such a big home run?
I think you look at Kiffin's just his offense. I mean, it's really it.
Okay, because I was going to say, I feel like I'm a lot more lukewarm on Kiffin than a lot of people. I'm like, okay, yeah, he puts up points, but like.
I mean, you've seen Kiffin do some good things in the SEC.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that's what it comes down to is Kiffin's done some good things in the SEC. You had fun. I mean, there is some nostalgia there where you've had fun with him.
Yeah.
You know that he has a good personality. You know that he would know what he's walking into. Like, you know, some of these guys, if you hire some of these coaches, I'd be like, I don't know if they know what they're signing themselves up for. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of getting with this fan base.
Well,
and
I think a
the
lot
expectations
people
of the boosters. But, like, Kiffin would be like, hey, I've been here. I've done that. I know what I'm signing up for. I missed you guys. I love you. I want to come back home.
Well, I think after the Schiano fiasco, I think a lot of coaches are more like, okay, wow, like that's what this fan base is kind of like. So I think people are a little more aware how intense we can be.
Sure.
But I
still don't think they get the full the good and bad. I don't think they get the full feeling of like, okay, well, I'm going to have to deal with all these boosters. I'm going to have to deal with the politics on campus. But also, like, I don't think a lot of them remember what it was like to, you know, when Tennessee was actually good and, like, pack the stadium and, like, how good the fans actually are. Like, when I say the fans, I don't mean just bad. I mean, they're intense, both good and bad. Like,
absolutely.
And I think Kiffin knows that, and I think that would excite Kiffin. So there's familiarity there. And again, if you guys want an offensive coach, I mean, he is one of the best offensive minds in the game.
Yeah.
The thing that draws me to Kiffin is just being able to unlock a quarterback finally for the first time since, I mean.
I think there are other coaches that can do that, but in terms of the ones we're looking at, Kiffin does seem to be the best of that.
I mean, he had a great year with Matt Corral. I mean, Matt Corral's a little bit inaccurate, but
he had a great year with, I mean, obviously with Crompton here. He had a great year with, I mean, did he not help develop Jalen Hurts? Was he not there helping develop Jalen Hurts?
I think when Kiffin first got there, they had Blake Sims, so he was kind of already past his time. But bringing in Jalen Hurts, he was the SEC Freshman of the Year, wasn't he?
I mean, personally, I want to see Jalen Hyatt just running 20 go routes every game and having 8 catches for 180 yards. Like, that's what I want to see is, like, somebody that's going to get the ball down the field. And, like, Kiffin likes throwing the ball deep down the field.
Throwing the clipboard up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's got swag. And, again, it's nostalgia. It'd be, like, kind of righting the wrong and him choosing you. And there's, like, the storylines there. But, like, on the field, I think it matters, too. Like, Ole Miss did give Alabama their closest game this year.
Yeah.
They also beat the number 7 team in the country. The end of the season. Indiana.
Yeah, with their backup quarterback.
Indiana,
I mean,
I don't give that any.
If we beat him, we'd be celebrating it.
Well, that's just what we do.
I mean, he beat him, sure, but, like, you know, number 17 without their quarterback.
Yeah, nothing to play
but
for.
But Ole Miss was
4-5,
though, going
into that game.
It's
fine. It was a good performance. I'm not saying that. I'm not pointing to that game as a reason I want Lane Kiffin. They beat Indiana. Like, bring back Jerry Pruitt. He literally beat Indiana the year before. With their backup quarterback. That's.
If he came in here and started losing bad, how bad would the fans turn on him?
Well, I think it's just going to be the same with every coach, though.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like it's almost amplified because you're like, wow, okay, he leaves us back in the day, and then now he comes in here and he's just being an embarrassment to the. It just would. I feel like it just compound a bunch of stuff. But
and like, don't get me wrong, that is accurate, but.
And, like, I agree with it. Like, yeah, he's a great offensive mind. Yeah, we would have a good offense. But, like, okay, yeah, going 5-5 at Ole Miss, FAU is FAU. I don't know. When people talk about, like, experience, like, yeah, he's had experience. He's been everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. But
the fans are going to turn on anybody. Like, yeah. They might not. I don't think they'll turn on Kiffin worse than they would on, like, Lance Leopold from Buffalo.
Fair enough.
Or, like, Sonny Dykes or, like, some outsider like Tony Elliott. Like, I mean, I think. I think like you would. That would be much uglier, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that makes sense, but I don't know. Still lukewarm on Kiffin.
I'm not lukewarm on him. Like, I think if I could pick a hire, it would be him. Like, assuming you can't get Bob Stoops, like.
Are we? But another thing is, are we really going to bring in a coach that got NCAA violations here back while we're dealing with NCAA violations?
Yeah, and like, I know they were here worrying, but like his last stops, like that was over a decade ago. Like, I mean, I feel like
way better situation than Hugh Freeze would have been in.
I mean, Chadwell got caught, you know, more recently. Like, I feel like Kiffin probably comes here with a clean bill of health from the NCAA and the SEC, because I mean, that's been a decade since he's had any type of issue. I still find it just hard to believe that Tennessee would hire him just because of what happened. But enough people are talking about it where it has to at least be a possibility. But
Danny said he's not looking at social media.
Yeah, like I'm excited to see where Danny goes. I'm excited to see, like, you know, what he is looking for and what he values. And if you say that you think Tennessee can win a national championship here, don't you have to go hire a national championship level coach?
Yeah.
Like, if Danny's first response was actually, I can win a national championship there, you're not going to go hire Sonny bleeping Dykes. In no world is Sonny Dykes winning a national championship. Right? Like, go ahead and mark that name off.
No way.
In no world is Kevin Steele winning a national championship. Nope. Like, we know that about a lot of coaches. So if Danny's actually saying, here, I want to win and I want to win a national championship, like, you can prove it with who you hire. Could Lane Kiffin win a national championship here?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm not saying would he. I'm saying could he.
I think he could.
There's a timeline where he could win a national championship here. Like, I mean, if you look back at his recruiting in 2009, he landed some big guys. Now, granted, some of those guys got in trouble, and Bryce Brown never, you know, amounted to anything here. But you played Alabama close down in Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get killed by Florida. You played Alabama close this year at Ole Miss. Like, there's a route where Kiffin is the best coach in some of these, like, in most of these games on Tennessee's schedule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say Tennessee could win a national championship with Lane Kiffin. Could they win with Tony Elliott? If Tony Elliott was a complete home run and was a stud, then yeah. But, like, I don't know. I can't say that for certain, but I can't say he couldn't because I've never seen him be a head coach before. You ain't winning one with Sonny Dykes, though, so go ahead and get that.
That's a fact.
Let's catch a break. We'll come back. We'll switch gears, talk about the NFL Championship weekend coming up. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Championship weekend in the NFL. Your level of excitement, what do you got? How pumped are you, Cam? 1 to 10.
I am a 8.
Draven, 1 to 30. How excited are you?
18.
1 to 30, you're an 18?
Yeah.
Hayden, 1 to 5, what do you got?
1 to 5?
Yeah.
3.
Why are you guys so down on the championship weekend this weekend? This is a great weekend of football. You really have both conferences, the matchups at quarterback that you want to see, and really maybe the matchups of teams you want to see, but definitely the matchups of quarterbacks you want to see, right? I mean, you got Rodgers versus Brady. Rodgers. Everyone's always wanted to see this in the playoffs. And you got Mahomes versus Allen, the two young studs in the AFC. And you guys are coming on here, and you're not very excited. What the hell's happening here? An 18? A 3?
What are you? Scale 1 to 55.
A 52.
Okay.
Wow.
Championship weekend.
Wow.
It's championship weekend. The playoffs are my favorite time of the year. Yeah, I can't wait to bet on all the action this weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook before, now's a perfect shot. They're giving new users an exclusive 25-1 bonus on any team to win during the championship weekend. That's right, 25-1 odds, any team, any playoff game this weekend. Just pick a team to win. If they win, you get 25 times your bet. Max bet of $5, you win $125, bada boom, bada bing, you're rich. So don't miss out on this exclusive offer. We love FanDuel. I got my bet in on the Packers. Right meow. FanDuel Sportsbook is easy to use. They offer fast withdrawals. When you win, you get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use the promo code TALKSPORT so they know that we sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit is required. Max bonus of $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. I mean, am I wrong? Is this not the quarterback foursome that everyone like would be like really excited for?
Unless, like, I guess maybe you could sub Lamar for Josh. But I don't, like, no, I'm with you. I wouldn't, but, you know, there may be some people that think they're the two, you know, young guys they want to see. But, no, yeah, I love this. It's cool, too, because you see the young up-and-coming guys on one side, and you see the old aging vets on the other side. It's almost poetic. This is awesome. I love it. I love the playoffs, too. I'm pumped. I love these matchups. I think it's going to be a great weekend.
Rodgers is sitting there like, hey, I'm so close. I'm back to where I was last year, NFC Championship, except last year we had to go to San Francisco. We weren't tough enough. This year we're in Green Bay. We're the best team. The only person there that can stop me is Thomas Brady.
Thomas.
That's it. That's a good storyline.
It's a great storyline.
It's cool.
Like, it's Brady, cool. Who's been left for dead, has a chance to run through Breeze, Rodgers, and Mahomes on the way to another Super Bowl. Like, if you're Brady, that would be the ultimate mic drop. You're tired that absolutely. Moment. You go out.
That's
like,
what I said. My prediction earlier this week.
You go out, if that's the case. If you run through Breeze, Rodgers, and Mahomes on the way to the Super Bowl, you just go ahead and say, I've accomplished everything I need to do. Go to hell, Bill Belichick. I'm the man. You're a loser. It was all me. Hope you enjoyed Cam Newton. The system. Turns out I'm the system.
Who's under more pressure, Brady or Rodgers? I guess it'd be Rodgers, right?
It has to be Rodgers. I mean, right. Brady, what kind of pressure is Brady under? He's already winning the breakup, and he's already the GOAT in everybody's mind. He's the greatest winner. If you don't think he's the most talented quarterback or the best quarterback ever, that's fine. But you have to say, like, he is the best winner in football history. He might be the best winner in sports history.
Yeah.
That's right. Take that, Michael Jordan. Tom Brady might be the best winner in sports history.
Wow. After watching The Last Dance, you're going to sit there and say that?
That propaganda did nothing for me. All that showed me was that Michael Jordan had to wait for the Pistons to get old before he could win. Tom Brady came in.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brady kicked the door down as a young man and won championships. He didn't have to wait for Isaiah Thomas to get old.
The bad boys beating me up.
Yeah.
The bad boys. They're so beating strong. Me up.
They fouled me too hard. The 80s
Jordan
so,
rules.
The 80s and 90s are so tough, but they fouled me too hard. Tom Brady kicked the door down one at the beginning and has done it for two decades. I don't remember Jordan winning championships in the 80s. Do you guys remember Jordan winning championships in the 80s?
I do not.
North Carolina. That's it.
Okay, North Carolina, sure.
Yeah.
Didn't win in the 2000s either. Brady has been, Brady's been excellent for two decades. Now we're in the third decade of him being at least a winner, on the doorstep. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd still consider him excellent, but, like, he's still here three decades in. So, yeah, I mean, he's already the greatest winner in football history. He might be the greatest winner in sports history. At least since Bill Russell.
Yeah, he's got very limited pressure. Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, the pressure, I know. Brady's fine. Rodgers is under the pressure. Rodgers needs Super Bowl II. Rodgers needs to protect home field. Rodgers has a better team. He has to go out and get this done. He is in much more pressure, at least in that game.
Yeah, Rodgers has to look at Breeze, too, and be like, man, I don't know if I have this many shots, right? I mean, this is you don't get many opportunities to go to Super Bowl, especially late in your career.
Yep. Especially not when you're the favorite at home. I mean, I know Rodgers was in the AFC, the NFC Championship last year, too, but, like, they were touchdown underdogs and got killed.
Yeah.
They weren't a championship-level team. This is all, on Rodgers' shoulder, too. Like, he has to win this game for them. Yeah. And plus, I mean, he got his ass beat by the Bucks earlier this year. He played his worst game of the year.
Pretty much his only bad game of the year. I mean, really.
Yeah, I mean, you don't ever really see Rodgers go full Garantano and throw back-to-back pick sixes, but that's basically what he did. Now, in the other game, I do wonder how the narrative is going to change because we've been ready to pencil in the Chiefs as, the kings of the AFC for the next decade. But what if Josh Allen goes into Kansas City and outplays Patrick Mahomes? What if Buffalo goes on and wins a Super Bowl? somehow this year. You know, they're two wins away from it. What if that happens? Do we change our tune about the Chiefs? Like, will we look and say, ah, maybe this is Buffalo's AFC?
Maybe.
Yeah, I...
Because we're ready to pencil it in as the you know, the conference of the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs league for the foreseeable future. But what if Josh Allen, who is, you know, just, you know, basically, let's just call him the same age as Mahomes.
Yeah.
What if he goes in there and outduels him and beats him?
I would say people would probably give the Chiefs a little bit of a pass and be like, you know, everybody's, you know, he doesn't make it automatically every year. They slipped up. We'll see if they bounce back next year. But I think it really would solidify a big rivalry in the AFC, but you're like, oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Mahomes and Allen's and playing in the playoffs every year, that showdown, who's going to get more rings. It just becomes a whole great narrative for the AFC over there, but you have two studs that you can kind of, you know, pair against each other. It's basically what they thought Mahomes and Lamar were going to end up being if Josh Allen goes out and won a Super Bowl this year.
Has Mahomes been cleared to play yet? Is he still in concussion protocol? Like, are they still calling it a concussion? Are they still trying to say it's his neck? Like, I imagine he's going to play, but, like, we're still here. It's Friday.
Yeah, he was limited yesterday. I haven't seen anything from today.
He's going to play.
But I mean, I think he's going to play, too.
There's no way he doesn't play.
Something that, you know, there are a couple things here working. We have the young, cheap quarterbacks here again at the end, at least in the AFC. Yeah. But also, like, this is going to be a big win for big-time wide receivers.
Yeah.
You know, usually you look and say, you know, wide receivers, paying them doesn't really work. But right now we have all four teams have 1,000-yard receivers that have had at least 10 touchdown catches.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since that's been the case. Every team comes here with a number one receiver that they feel good about, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, you look at the Packers, obviously, Davante Adams, the best in the game. Can we start like calling like them, like, is he born? Does that work? For, like, GOAT, born? Best right now? Best of right now? No? Doesn't work. Born doesn't work. Same as GOAT.
Nah, it doesn't.
Okay.
It's a good try, though.
Gorn? I like the idea.
What about Gorn?
Gorn?
Does Gorn work better than Born?
He's a Gorn? Of
right now?
Yeah, the greatest of right now. Yeah.
He's the Gorn.
He's the Gorn.
I can see it.
Better than Born?
Yeah, better than Born. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay, I'm working on it.
Yeah, we'll just workshop that. We'll have a term in no time.
Well, Davante Adams is the Gorn. The greatest of right now, in my opinion.
Yep.
You got Mike Evans for the Bucks. With the Chiefs, who do you consider the number one receiver for the Chiefs? Do you consider it Kelce or Hill? Because I feel like they got two of them.
Probably Kelce. Yeah. I feel like it is Kelce.
And then, you know, Stephon Diggs. All of those guys pretty well paid. All of those guys elite. Don't usually happen in the NFL when you start looking at top paid players at their positions. It's very rare. You got to have to kind of have value and spread out. But not this time. One of these teams is going to go in there with either a high paid quarterback and win a championship, or they might win with a high paid quarterback and a high paid receiver and win a championship.
Yeah.
Is Davante Adams the skill player you trust the most this weekend?
Yes. Yeah, against that secondary, absolutely.
I feel like they're going to make emphasis to shut him down. I think it's going to open up more for Aaron Jones.
Yeah, everybody's tried that
all year.
I think
whichever team runs the ball better. Like, I know we like this quarterback matchup and we get on all that, but I think running the football is going to be huge because both teams can do it pretty well and can really open up everything else. Like, we know Brady's so much better when he can run the football, play action, throw over the top to the tight ends. It's like what he's done his whole career. So, like, I think that's going to be a huge key to the game. I really think Davante Adams is going to be kind of like last week, sort of quiet, couple of plays here and there, but not the dominant performance we kind of used to seeing from him this season. Is that fair to say?
I think people have tried to shut him down all year. I think he'll keep doing his thing.
I mean, am I missing – is there a shutdown corner for the Bucks that I'm missing?
No.
Carlton Davis, man.
Who?
Carlton Davis.
I know who he is, but I mean, he's not a shutdown.
Are we thinking of him as a shutdown corner? Because I don't think of him as a shutdown corner. I don't think of the Bucks having one of
their
those guys.
Their secondary is the worst part of their defense.
Right.
And it's the corners especially. They got some decent safeties, but the corners are the weakest part of their entire defense.
You know, which I guess against Adams, maybe you put the safeties on him too. Maybe you double-team him and hope that nobody else can beat you. But
people have tried that all year. He still gets open.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Carlton Davis Pro Football Focus grade of 67.6, position rank 35th.
They don't have a good corners.
doesn't seem like a shutdown for me. Doesn't seem like
running
a shutdown
Running the ball
for
will
me.
Be the key, though. You're not wrong there. If they can get Rojo back going or Fournette and keep him in the game.
The Bucks just now tweeted out, he's back. He's back. With eyeball emojis. Which I imagine, I mean, they already ruled Antonio Brown out. Is it Vita Vea?
Vita Vea.
Vita Vea, is he back?
Sure
is.
It's
a pretty big deal for them if they get him back, I guess.
Yeah, it does say they just activated him. So, yeah, he will be there.
Didn't he get hurt in the first Packers-Bucks game? Or did he get hurt before that? I remember him getting hurt earlier in the season. I remember it could have been that game.
I don't know when he got hurt, but that's a big addition for that defense.
Yep.
Now we'll see how good he is and ready to go. Like, I mean, him playing his first game in a long time. You know, at his size, he can just put him out there and hopefully eats up some space and makes at least a couple plays. But that'll help. And, you know, the Bucks defensive line gets a big boost. They're going to have to get to Rodgers and pressure him. I'm not so much worried about Bucks. I just don't think the Bucks offense is going to be good enough to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't either.
Green Bay's defense isn't anything to rap about. The one thing they do well is pressure the quarterback pretty decent. They got Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, so that could be – they could get after Brady a little bit. But I'm telling you, if they can run the football, Green Bay's every now and then struggle against the run. Buccaneers will be in this game, John.
I just think Packers jump out early. And Brady playing from behind could get ugly. I don't know. I still haven't bought into Brady, the 2021 version of him. Now, you've been waiting for him in the playoffs, and here he is. Mm-hmm. And he's one win away from, you know, getting the first ever. Kind of weird if Brady was the quarterback of the first ever team to have a home Super Bowl game. After playing his entire career in a place that, you know, was never, ever, ever going to get a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But now here he is.
Vita Vea got injured in week 5. So it has been a long time.
Was that the same week they played the Packers? I believe it was. Week 5.
I mean, you have a computer, just look it up. I don't know what I don't have their schedule memorized.
But
I don't know what week it was. I mean,
you asked about the most consistent player this week, and I think it's gonna be Stephon Diggs.
Yeah?
Again, yeah.
Diggs finds his way to score a touchdown every week, right?
He had 100 yards last week again.
Get 100 yards. Like, and that was in a game where the Bills didn't even move the ball. He still found a way to get 100 yards and a touchdown. Like,
yeah.
It does feel like Diggs has become the second best receiver in the NFL. It does feel like Diggs – and it's wild because when Diggs got traded from Minnesota, we laughed. And, you know, like, if you don't like Kirk Cousins, how are you going to like Josh Allen? Like, that was a joke, right? Like, if you don't think Kirk Cousins – is accurate enough. What are you going to think about Josh Allen, who, you know, is very inaccurate? Mm-hmm. And then they both get there and they're both thriving. Like, Josh Allen turned into very, very accurate, and Stephon Diggs turned into the second best receiver in the league. Like, it's him and Davante Adams for me. And as Hayden says, he just keeps showing up and just keeps getting 100 yards. I mean, if you just look back at really at their last, 7 games? His last 7 games. 92 yards, 130 and a touchdown, 147, 145 and 3 touchdowns, 76. And that was against the Dolphins where he didn't have to play that much because they were 56. Like, he could have had 100 yards if he wanted. 128 and a touchdown, 106 and a touchdown. If you go back before that, he had one clunker against the Chargers, 7 catches, 39 yards. That was his only clunker. 10 for 93 and a touchdown against Arizona, 9 for 118, 6 for 92. I mean, the guy's been a stud pretty much all year. Especially since the halfway point. You might be onto something there, Hayden, in terms of just he's the most consistent.
Yep. And who do you trust?
You see the difference between a true elite receiver and DeAndre Hopkins, by the way? You don't see any 40-yard games in there. Man gets it done every week.
Devontae Adams only had like 60 yards last week, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
No, he did. And like, I mean, he was also going against Jalen Ramsey. So I'll say like he was going up against the best. And the fact he still got a touchdown and still got a couple big catches.
Yeah, they make plays for him.
they're going to find a way. Like, and Devontae Adams scored a lot of touchdowns this year, and they were all, you know, mostly at the goal line. But that's by design. Like, if he's on the goal line, they're going to find a way to get him a pick play, or they're going to have him fake in and go out. Like, they're going – he's a red zone target.
That play they ran last week was just unguardable. All the way across the formation, Ramsey had to go through five guys to get to him. There's no
way. That's tough.
My goodness. Devontae Adams has played in – how many games he playing this year?
14.
14 plus a playoff game, so 15.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He scored a touchdown in every game except three.
That's ridiculous.
That's wild.
That is ridiculous.
Two touchdowns against Minnesota to start the year. Then he went touchdownless the next 2 weeks against Detroit and Tampa, and then has scored a touchdown in every game except week 15 against Carolina. Two touchdowns, three touchdowns, 1-1-1-1-2-1-0-3-1-1. Like, he is a monster.
Yes, he is. Oof, yeah, that's unreal.
Only 66 yards, like you said last week, Aiden. 46 the week before. So he's not the yards guy. Like Diggs is, but he is, you know, at the goal line, he is a monster. He is a threat. I'm pumped for championship weekend. Go get your 25-1 odds boost on FanDuel Sportsbook. Mm-hmm. Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off hour 3 with headlines. Mm-hmm.